Hey everybody, what's going on? It is Friday. Can't believe it. It's Friday here in Nashville. We're in the snowpocalypse. There's snow everywhere. But in Vegas, my good friend Stacy, he's not living in the snow. He's enjoying life out there. But before we talk to Stacy, I'm going to tell everybody real quick about our sponsors here for every show we do, Bombers and Sleeves. They are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down. They wear it all on their sleeve. Bomb your boundaries today and every day at bombersandsleeves.com. And just so everybody knows, too, they are a Nashville-based company, and they're helping trying to save the music and the venues. Stacy, you might know this place, the Exit Inn in Nashville, is actually getting ready to go up for sale, and the rumor is they're going to turn it into condos. And Bombers and Sleeves are donating 80% of the profits from their 6-1 Vibe collection to help save the Exit Inn venue. So go there, bombersandsleeves.com, buy 6-1 Vibe, save the music, save the venues. And what a crazy freaking time we're living in, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like I look back, it's almost like a year. And I was just thinking about this this morning, actually. My wife and I celebrated our anniversary at the end of February when we went to Anaheim and saw the Struts play. And it was literally like, I mean, a couple of weeks before all the shit hit the fan. And, you know, unfortunately, last year went by very quick, thankfully. But, yeah, it's Twilight Zone, man.
That's a good way to put it. It really is.
Yeah.
So now, there's like this whole rebirth that's going on. Like, you know, last time we talked, now, crazy thing, last time we talked, I guess it was about 2 years ago when Electric Radio Kings was started. The weird thing was, like, the last time I talked to you, I had just got done talking to Phil Lewis, your old bandmate.
Yes.
And now the other day, I ended up talking to another old bandmate of yours, Steve Riley.
I just watched that one, yeah.
I got to ask, and I don't want to touch too much on LA Gunn stuff, because I really want to talk about Fraction Wayward, but... Were you one of the guys Steve reached out to for his version of LA Guns?
Yeah, you know, I guess that was probably a little over 2 years ago. God, it doesn't seem that long ago. I had originally said, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then, you know, I think Steve was like, okay, you're ready to go to war. And I was like, no. I don't want to fight another war, man, you know?
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, with Electric Radio Kings, we're just getting ready to do a really big, 8-week radio, national radio campaign with Lynch. Our single and video were coming out, and, you know, my band members at the time, I told them I was going to do that, and they freaked. So I was, you know, it just... The more I thought about it, I was like, I can't do it. It's not the right decision. And I felt I was kind of going, you know, climbing into bed with an old wife.
Right, so, right.
So I called Steve. I said, Steve is causing too many problems. And I said, I don't feel good about this. It's not right. I bowed out. Yeah.
It's probably, I mean, and no, I, like, it's funny because, and I think I even told Steve this the first time I interviewed him last year. I was never a big fan of Steve Riley. There's something about him always rubbed me the wrong way. And I told him the story. When you were still with the band, you guys played an acoustic show in Delaware. And I went for you guys.
Oh, wow.
And I was a little drunk. And I was talking with you, talking with Phil and Kenny. And when I got to Steve, like, I just broke his balls unmercifully about Tracy. Just nonstop.
I think I remember that.
And finally, he just looked at me. He's like, dude, can you just give it a break? Just give it a rest.
Yeah.
So I reminded him of that. And, like, I love and respect Steve because he's come on and talked to me twice. And he was very open and honest. And, you know, I kind of, like, you know, whatever – maybe he did wrong according to Tracy or whatever that is, you know, that's none of my business, but you know, I've learned a whole newfound respect for Steve Riley.
Very cool. Yeah.
But the one other question I just got to ask you about that is, so one thing you guys did was, and which I truly love, from the time you guys put it out, and I still listen to it a lot, is on Rip the Covers Off. You did a cover of the Henry Rocks tune, Until I Get You. And I just freaking love that version. I just want to know your thoughts and any memories of recording that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had just joined the band maybe 3 months prior to that, end of 2003. So right away, they were already slated to do that cover record with Shrapnel and Mike Varney. Hi, Mike, if you're watching. I doubt it, but hi. A friend of mine. And then they were like, Andy Johns is going to produce. And I was like, you mean the guy that worked with Zeppelin and produced, you know, F-U-C-K by Van Halen and Eddie Money and Rod Stewart? I was like, wow, this is awesome. So I think Phil had picked that song. And, you know, I've always loved Hannah Rocks. I'm a huge Hannah Rocks fan. So I was like, well, I really put a lot of my heart and soul into that. So I was like, it's great. That, I think, is definitely one of the standout tracks on that record. Yeah. It's, you know, it's really, really cool. I just remember it was a good way for me to break into the band, doing that cover record and feeling everybody out and recording. And it really kind of solidified that lineup. And then we, right after that album was done, we went over to Europe for like 6 weeks in the dead of winter, February.
Wow.
It was cold. but yeah, a lot of fun memories of looking back on that record. That was a while ago too.
I didn't realize how long ago it was.
17 years? Please tell me that's not right.
Oh man.
What? But yeah, that's I love that track too. So thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really cool. It's a cool song regardless.
Yeah.
But I think we put a nice touch on it.
For sure. So, all right. So, like I said, last time we talked, Electric Radio Kings was getting ready to come out. That first single was getting ready to come out. Things were going good. Things were pumping. The machine was going. And then I was saying, like, a little bit of band member changes and things like that. But you were still pushing along. And then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, crashing.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting backstory. So, as you said, things were kind of really moving along. You know, we had done the single and a big radio campaign back in March of 2019. So we started getting a lot of national radio airplay on active rock radio. Then we entered Billboard mainstream rock charts, broke through top 100 at 87. And then we just started climbing the next week. I think we went to like 54, and then we broke the top 40, and then we broke the top 30, and we held the number 28 position for 2.5 weeks. And I was like, hell yeah, man, this is happening. So then we started getting some labels, started sniffing around, and we ended up, we ended up doing our own record. So we put that out, I think, in April. And then we signed a deal with this company called MI5, which was part of Universal Music Group. And so they re-released it in August. And then we had a guy named Larry Mazur, who saw the Back to Black video through my buddy Fred Curry, as you know, drummer. And Larry used to manage Cinderella. He managed Kiss. He managed Lamb of God. And he was like, oh, my God, who's this band? I got to know this band. So a few phone calls. Larry was very interested in managing us. So I was like, wow, this is all falling into place. And we had gone down to New Orleans and Houston to play two very big shows. And we played in Houston in front of 1,000 people. And that night, Sanger got drunk. We got back to the hotel, to the Marriott, and he texted everybody, and he was basically, F you, I quit. And I was just like, it had been kind of brewing. He didn't really want to do it. He did, but he didn't. And he saw,
right.
He got super fearful because he saw this thing taking off, and he knew he couldn't carry it, I don't talk bad about him, but he kind of flushed it down the toilet. Wow. So I'm flying home on Sunday from Houston and going, what just happened? Because I couldn't call Larry on Monday. Okay, we're ready to sign the management deal. Oh, but I should tell you, by the way, our singer just quit. You know, the record stiffed, lost the management deal, and basically that was it. You know, I was so upset and so angry and just disillusioned. I was going to quit music. I'm like, I can't believe this just happened. After 3 years of putting my heart and soul trying to do something new, that was modern and viable, and finally was like on the verge of success. So, you know, I collected myself and I just said, all right, I'm going to rebuild the band. So the other guitar player, David, who was filling in for Keith, the original guitar player, I said, Dave, I told the band imploded. It was over. So I said, Dave, I'm going to rebuild this thing. You want to do this with me? He's like, yeah, man. So couple weeks go by, and I get a message on Facebook from this guy, Steve, who lived in Vegas. He goes, I just heard what happened. You got to check out my buddy, Peter, Summit Ross, amazing singer. I said, okay. So we went on his SoundCloud page. I'm like, yeah, he's really good. And he goes, you actually know him. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I used to be in a band called Daredevil Jane. And it dawned on me, like, Pete and I used to be friends, and I lost touch with him for about 8-9 years or so.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, it was like a frying pan. Bing! I'm like, oh, my God, yes. This. So Pete called me up, and I was like, dude, what is up, man? And he was a godsend, babe. He really came in, like, he just saved me, you know? And he's such a great guy. He's an amazing singer. He's an amazing frontman. And he just told me on the phone, he goes, don't fuck around with anybody else. I'm your guy.
I love it.
We rebuilt the band, but it's still calling Electric Radio Kings. We actually played 2 shows last year before the pandemic. And then, you know, that all that shit went down. And then at that time, you know, Pete had said to me, you know what, Stace? It's time to let go of the life raft and let go of the rope. This is not Electric Radio Kings. It's something different. And I was like, you're right. So that's how Crashing Wayward got kind of born. And then we spent the whole spring and summer writing. And Mike Gillies, who's Metallica's longtime engineer, who produced Electric Radio Kings album, Purr. We started working with Mike again, and just all this amazing songs and direction, and the whole vibe changed, and it was like, wow. So I look back on 2020, I just felt that time was a blessing to really let this thing blossom the way it was supposed to. And you know, babe, I didn't understand. I was so angry at what happened with Electric Radio Kings, but I look back on it now and go, that was meant to happen.
Sure.
To give birth to this. And I couldn't be more happy and grateful. So grateful for the things that happened in Electric Radio Kings, because a lot of great things happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is very, just coming together. Amazing. It's very different. It's the reaction that we've gotten for Breathe has just been overwhelming. So super happy.
Yeah, I just want to touch on Breathe for a second before we really get into it. I just got to say, like, the other day I was literally in the supermarket waiting in line before Snowpocalypse hit, and I'm scrolling through Instagram, and I saw the quick snippet of it on Instagram,
and I
literally was like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing. And that's why I commented, and then you reached out. I was like, so thankful you did, man. Going back, like, so Electric Radio Kings, as that was all going on, like, and like you're saying, like, it was a blessing that it happened. Do you think, first of all, it had to be so hard, because that was like your voyage into all this. You were like guiding the ship and all that. Do you think of it now, like, all that stuff? Yeah, it had to happen. It was also like a teaching lesson for you on how to, like, do things as the captain of the ship.
Yeah, but you know what's, and it's funny that you mentioned that, babe, because you know what, I was like doing so much in that band, it was burning me out, and I wasn't really getting the support. support from the other guys, and they were like, "Well, you just do everything." And although, you know, the singer, he put a lot of money into the band and did a lot for the band, but, you know, I would beg these guys for help, and they just, you know. So what I love about this band is that you got four other guys that are just, we're all just a team, and we all do all of these things that need to be done, and we work so well together. Couldn't have found four other better guys that are just so driven, and I'll do this and you do that and we do this and yeah. And we have Zoom meetings every week, and it's just like, wow. So it's like I went through hell to, you know, get to this. So
right.
Yeah, I'm pretty blessed. So got a great band, as you saw in the video clip, Peter, amazing vocalist. This guy's going to be the next big American frontman rock star. And we've got David Harris on guitar, great player, great writer. Sean McKee on drums, Vegas drummer here. He's done a lot of great stuff. Carl Rather from LA, he's played a lot of great bands, and myself.
Yeah, now how about, we go into the pandemic hits. At that point, are you thinking to yourself, oh, here we go, another freaking setback. Like, what do I do now? Is it just not meant to be? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you know, I try not to think that because everybody, it affected everybody. So, you know, it's tough because, as you know, babe, being in the entertainment industry, it's affected so many things on that level. Yeah. For us, it's been brutal, you know. I mean, not to have played a show in an entire year. I mean,
right.
I can't even remember the last time that, like, was 17 or something. I mean, yeah. So it's just like, you gotta look at it this, okay, we can't play. And once you accept that, okay, we can't do this, it's like, let's get to work and just start writing and making the most amazing and recording the most amazing music. And that's what we did. You know, we channeled all of our energy and efforts into, you know, making the most amazing sounding songs with production. And Mike is such a killer engineer and producer. I'm very blessed to have him on our team. You can hear Breathe sounds like it's just amazing.
It is. It truly is. Now, as that process is going on with the, you know, writing all the new material and all that, and Peter suggests to you, like, look, let's cut the life raft, let's move on. Are you cutting all musical ties? Like, no, you're not going to play any of the old songs? It's just completely fresh?
Yeah. You know, and we had talked about that. Maybe we'll play a couple, but yeah, because it's, you know, the whole thing was, it was like, Stace, you're the only guy left from that band.
Right.
This is pointless to call this that band, because it isn't, and we don't sound like it, and you know, everything about it is completely different. So plus I had an LLC with the old singer too, so I needed to separate that too, and just to make things easier you know, on myself, and you know, when you're to cut that time as well. So
absolutely,
yeah. But it's, in a way, it was like, you know, for me, it was kind of a weird thing because it's like we had that burgeoning success, and it was like, it was tough to let that go, you know, and a funny story about this, you know, I finally got that last summer, and it showed up, and the frame was all busted, and the mat was bent, and I was like, oh, how befitting. I had to laugh. I'm like, oh, this is irony. Like, the
so you probably should just left it like that to represent the year.
I did, because the guy was like, that the company's like, oh no, I'll make you another one. I said, no, don't make me another one. I want to look at that and see that busted frame as a reminder.
I love it. So, okay, so you guys decide, Crashing Wayward, new start, fresh start. How long before you guys settle on that to when you actually make the announcement to the fans?
I think we came up with the name. It was probably in the summertime. And then we, made the announcement, and the announcement went over so well. And it was like, it was just a kind of a reassurance, like, you know, have some faith kind of thing. It's like, things are going to be okay. And the response was super, super awesome. So I was like, okay, that's a great start, you know? So, cause that was something I was worried about too. So, but it's true. Sometimes you gotta let go. You gotta let go of the rope, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Now, have you heard from any of the old bandmates about it?
We still talk to Dell and Keith. And in fact, Keith has a fantastic guitar company called Marvin Guitars. And anybody who's a guitar player watching this, go check out his company on Instagram. Marvin Guitars, and he makes fantastic, really cool kind of vintage type guitars. So, in fact, he's billing me a Fender Telecaster. I'm still waiting.
Nudge, nudge, Keith.
I still talk to Dell every now and then. That's kind of
cool. Okay, so Crashing Wayward, where did the name come from?
Pete and I were kind of tooling around with names, and it just came to me, and it's just like, he's like, that's it, that's the name of the band, so tell the other guys, there's no if, and, or, but, just tell everybody that's the name of the band. I was like, shouldn't they get there? Okay, so we did, because, you know, you get five guys who bouncing names about it, you know, it's going to be months, so Everybody was like, okay. You know, that's what I love about these guys. I say, I got to change the name of the band. I legally have to do it for many reasons, and this and this and that. New band is called Crashing Wayward. And they're all like, all right, cool.
That sounded simple enough.
Yeah.
So you guys start, you guys are already recording and working on stuff. It sounds like, at that point, I guess you guys had three songs that were finished or recorded?
Yeah, there's three that are finished. We have another two songs called Disco Kills and Stranger Days. So I think Disco Kills is going to be the next single. That's a really, really cool song. And it's kind of about all the disposable pop music that's out there. So we're going to make a really interesting video for that. So we're hoping to release that maybe end of April. Okay. So and then probably in the next month or so, we'll film video for that. But then we're going to start recording another three songs. So we'll just keep releasing singles and videos as things start progressively, hopefully open up this right. fall. We can start go out and playing. But in the meantime, we want to build this momentum as opposed to just going out there and trying to play and, you know, play in front of 30 people or something. It's, you know, yeah. It's not the way to do it.
Nah. Yeah. So now it's funny, like I was literally scrolling through the timeline, the Facebook timeline of Crashing Wayward. And yeah, I'm like seeing as the story unfolds and the changes. And the cool thing that really like was nice to see was, I guess, I don't know if it was your first photo shoot you guys did or whatever photo shoot you guys did with this photographer, but there was like a 19-second video that like was summarized the photo shoot. And yeah. Then to see like those quick, to see the live pictures of the live video of it and then see the actual pictures afterwards, what they became, photography is truly a work of art.
It is, and that's a really neat, Julie Burgons, who did that, was the first photographer at that shoot, really good, found her, I think Sean, my drummer, knew her, so he was like, hey, check Julie's stuff out, and we looked at her stuff, we're like, wow, cool, really cool photo studio in town in Vegas called Photo Bang, I think it's called, and we did that there, really neat place, and yes, I think she really did a great job capturing the vibe of the band, And then they made that little teaser video. I was like, wow, this is, you know, I've never had a photographer do that. That was a bonus, you know?
Yeah,
so
cool.
I remember seeing that and I was like, this is badass. So this, and that's awesome to hear you tell me that you saw that day and really it intrigued you. So, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it's cool. So then the next thing is Breathe. You yes. guys actually filmed a video a few months ago. So how was that? Like, you got this amazing freaking song, you got this killer video, and now you're sitting there waiting for the right time to release it.
And it's funny because, you know, we use a company called TuneCore. I don't know if you're familiar with TuneCore, but they changed the parameters of the thing. So where it used to be like it would take a week for them to upload everything and release your song on all platforms, now it's a month. So, you know, we had to wait a month, and then, you know, Mike was really spending a lot of, he just put his heart and soul into the mix and everything like that, just to make it absolutely epic. So, it was, you know, it was worth the wait. It was tough kind of sitting on that for, we filmed the video November 21st.
Wow.
So we had to wait all those weeks and then waited for the song to come out. But, like I said, it was worth the wait because the reaction has just been absolutely amazing. But the guy who filmed that, Mason Wright, he actually did all three of Electric Radio Kings videos.
Okay.
Yeah, young guy, 25-year-old guy. And we filmed it at Desertman Studios here in Las Vegas. Danny Coker from County Cars.
Yeah.
And yeah, it came out great. And it was funny because, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, we've rehearsed a few times, but that performance, you know, you just put everything in and, you know, everybody's a little bit out of shape. So we just, and then afterwards it was like, oh my God. So we had a lot of fun, to the 2-day shoot it was great. We could tell it was like, wow, it just was super exciting. So
now tell us about the song itself. It's such a phenomenal song, and it really is so freaking powerful. Like, you can feel the intensity, the passion. I mean, like you said, what you said about Peter, I think you're totally right. He's going to be the future, you know, front man, lead singer of rock and roll.
Yeah. And you know, Peter's done some great things too, not to sidetrack, but you know, it's funny because we've all had these things that have, like, you know, bands that have not worked out. And I really feel that the universe brought the five of us together. And Pete had some great bands. He was in a band called Daredevil Jane, which was really cool, and Whiskey Star. So I'm really grateful to have him in my life. But the song is it's a retrospective of 2020, and it's a song of hope and tolerance and all the things, all the effed up things that all happened last year that we're still experiencing a little bit of.
Yeah,
a lot of, actually. So it's a song of, like, when that time comes, and hopefully sooner than later, we can all just take a deep breath and be, you know, get back to being human beings. And, you know, stop the division, stop the racism, you know, and we can all coexist like we're supposed to. You know?
Yeah, right.
So I love the message about, and the lyrics that Pete wrote about the song. And I think that a lot of people are really connecting with that. So, yeah, I it's a great track. I love it. And it's funny because it's a track that Carl, a bass player, had been sitting on for 10 years.
Wow.
And he's like, you know, when he demoed it at his place on Pro Tools with guitar, he plays guitar too, and he programmed the drums, and he was like, hey, check this out, because it was a lot different than what you hear now. So it was in a different key, and we were like, wow, that's a really cool song. So we worked on it, and Pete wrote lyrics, and then we demoed it again, and then Mike basically just stripped everything, and he goes, let's change the key. So I think we all just said, drop D, you know, make it heavier. And it just all started coming together. So the recording process of it too was awesome.
Now, something else I love about it is the freaking guitar solo. You got this ripping, reminiscent Guitar Hero guitar solo that you really don't hear no more in music. And
yeah,
to blast one through that.
Thank you. I wanted to do, something that wasn't too over the top, but something cool. I'm a huge Dean DeLeo fan from Stone Temple Pilots, and I wanted to capture something like, what would Dean do on that? And the solo just kind of came together pretty quick. It wasn't like with other songs where it's like a really kind of, Mike and I would like really pick the thing apart and try this and try that. It was just like play. And I think I did maybe 3 or 4 takes on it because I had already crafted in rehearsal. I'm like, that's the solo. I don't think it's going to really deviate from that. And it didn't, but it's cool. If you listen to the song, it's got all these different elements from all the influences we have as a band. It's like, you can hear a little bit of U2. You can hear a little bit of David Bowie. You can hear a little bit of Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, Guns N' Roses. So that's what I love about this band is everybody's got all these really cool influences that come into our music. I love that about this too.
It's got such a true modern feel to it too. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, what we were really going for too as well, but that's, having the luxury of working with Mike Gillies, who's engeared every Metallica record since the Load record. So he's got such great ideas, as far as, modern production, but, he has such a way with the way he engineers and his ideas for, because he plays guitar too, and he's got these just great ideas of just movement and shape and sound and stuff like that. So, the creative process from when we start downloading stuff to what it actually becomes, that's really an amazing experience too that I love doing and what we're doing as well.
That's awesome. Now, how about where do we go from here now? Like, what's the plans? I mean, because we're still in a pandemic of sorts somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, babe, we're just like everybody else. We're just like scratching another day off on the calendar.
Right.
Is it, our things going to open up? As you, like when we were talking with Steve, it's like everybody's just, all across the board, whether you're, in a pop band or a metal band or a rock band or hip hop or whatever, it's like, when are we going to be able to freaking play and tour again?
Right.
I think we're in a better shape than obviously last year. So yeah, there is some light at the end of the tunnel, I think. I think Trump probably towards the fall, I think we can all, start somewhat playing shows again. And then I think 2022, you'll see life kind of return to somewhat.
So you mentioned next single End of April, Disco Kills. So you think you just keep putting some, like you said, some singles out through this year?
And then we'll probably do our third single, Stranger Days, which is a really excellent song. It's kind of got a My Chemical Romance a vibe, and Disco Kills is very kind of just, it's a rocker. It's like very groove, kind of Rival Sons-ish, Soundgarden-ish. It's a really great song. So we'll just like keep doing that so we can keep busy and keep writing until we can really start playing. In a way, too, babe, it's almost like this rebirth. Like,
yeah,
I kind of like, I start visualizing what the first show this band could do. I kind of get a little nervous. I'm like, I've forgotten what it's like to, which is really freaky because if you've been doing it, for decades, it's like, it's an old hat, but it's like when you get removed from something, whether you're a contractor or an architect or something like that, it's almost like this rebirth. So I try to think that way so I don't get depressed, because there's many times where it's just like, how can you not get depressed? It's, sure, no pun intended. It's like breathing, And to take that away, it's like, I, it's like, how are all my other musician friends that especially the ones that are doing that full time, that's brutal. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think you said something that's so true. You can finally feel like the light at the end of the tunnel.
I think so. Yeah. You know, as long as more people get vaccinated and the numbers start going down and, you know, we can ease up on things. But yeah, it's like the sports world and the entertainment world, they've taken just a beating, you know.
I think, and I've said this before.
Unless you live in Florida, then you can go do whatever you want.
Yeah, you know, my niece just bought a house in Florida late last year, and she was sending me a video. Her and her husband were at this club, and it was a Kiss tribute band playing, and it was packed. She's like, they just don't care down here. She goes, everything's just wide open.
I don't know. I kind of frown upon that. It's like, you're screwing it up for everybody else, man. Stop.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy times.
Yeah.
So, all right, so where should we send everybody to get the single, hear the single, see the single?
Yeah. So crashingwayward.com. We've got a great website. And you can obviously go on to YouTube and type in Crashing Wayward Breathe. Pulling away, just in six, 7 days, we've gotten over 7,000 views, which has been amazing. And we're all on all the streaming sites, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes. You can go to iTunes or Amazon and download the single. It's out there.
It's out there. So everybody can truly breathe now and hear the song.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It's been great catching up. Loving the
great
music.
To see you, baby. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Pleasure. Always Absolutely. A pleasure to speak with you.
Absolutely. Let's do it again when the new one comes out.
Absolutely. And I hope to be Nashville playing show maybe later this year or next year.
That'd be beautiful. Let's hook up.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
See ya.
Peace.